Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Back in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Hey, glad you're with us to start your Father's Day weekend. Buffalo Bills wrapping up their mandatory minicamp earlier this week. And to talk about that and other Bills-related news and notes, Elena Getzenberg covering the team for ESPN.com, ESPN's NFL Nation. And Elena, how was your first off-season program covering the team?
It was pretty good. You know, the weather, I feel like I talk about the weather whenever I'm on, like, anything. But, like, so nice to be enjoying practice outside on nice days. They got some great weather. And it was good. It was nice to see, you know, there was a break there where there was no football. And, you know, this isn't real football still, but it's nice to see them back out there. So it was good.
Yeah, Elena, we entered the week thinking, okay, what's going to happen with Jordan Poyer? And then he's out there. So where do you think the story kind of goes from here? Will Poyer just show up at Fisher and it's status quo until he gets a new contract? Will we see a different sort of Jordan Poyer and hold in? I mean, Jordan Poyer, to my knowledge, wasn't made available to talk to the media. So your thoughts on this key player in the Bills' defense actually being there with his teammates this week?
Yes, he did not. That's correct. He did not speak with the media. He was not, but he declined that. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very good sign, you know, for this Jordan Poyer Bills contract situation that not only was he there, but he participated in every single part of those practices. And I think, I mean, they're working on it. I think there's some optimism with that. I would not, you know, could something get done before camp? So to avoid that situation, that would be clearly ideal for everyone involved, but it seems he's showing a willingness to participate. I think him being there at minicamp was huge, and I think it really should, like, I wouldn't be too alarmed about it right now. I think if we get closer to camp and there's still some uncertainty, then I think we'll have another conversation.
Elena, a name that has been absent throughout the offseason program, guy that was starting on the line for the Bills last year, all last year, his rookie season, Spencer Brown, dealing with some injuries but losing some valuable reps here. How behind do you think Spencer Brown could be at the start of training camp if this injury kind of lingers? And what have you seen? I know it's hard to evaluate play of the line because there's not a lot of contact. There's no contact happening. But David Queseberry, you know, getting some of those reps that would be going to a guy in Spencer Brown who doesn't have the kind of career that Questenberry has.
Yeah, very, like you said, very, very little to evaluate any of the linemen, defensive, offensive, during this portion because there's no pads. They're not doing anything too intense. It's very low key. I think it's not ideal. You certainly want a young offensive lineman out there, but I don't think it's like the end of the world. You know, yes, of course, in an ideal scenario, Spencer Brown taking a lot of snaps, he's out there. But, you know, this is the time if he's going to rest, and you want him back for some of camp. And I think that, again, I think a lot of it is that's when it becomes a little more, okay, he's missing opportunities now. But I think he's not going to be that behind. They're not changing that much of what the line, you know, the offense isn't changing that much. But hopefully they get him out there soon. But I wouldn't be too alarmed with that either.
ESPN NFL Nation reporter Elena Getzenberg, she covers the Buffalo Bills, our guest here in the sports bar as we get ready now, next on the calendar, St. John Fisher College. All right. Do we actually have any real camp battles? Like, are there any jobs right now? I mean, it's just a great sign for fans of the team, Elena, that pretty much everybody knows their roles. But are there any camp battles, in your opinion?
You know, I just submitted something for an ESPN thing we're doing that was like, what's your team, you know, the team you cover's best, you know, training camp battle to watch? And I had to sit there for like maybe too long and be like, what is the best battle? Because like you said, you can predict 50 of the 50, you know, like there's a lot of guys locked into their roster spots and starting, and there's not too much there. I think the punting situation is something we're going to all talk way too much about. Maybe I should call it the holding situation. Is that a better? But whatever's going on there, with we have still, you know, there's holding battles going on, which is always exciting. but I do think cornerback is something to watch with, you know, Tre'Davious still rehabbing that ACL. You know, it's going to be interesting to see Tyer's been with first team and second team. Are we going to kind of see Dane Jackson? You know, how is he going to perform? And maybe it's less of a battle because if Trey's not out there, they're your starters. But who's next to Trey? Does Kair, you think Kair gets it from the start, but can Dane, you know, do something to earn that? I think that'll be interesting. And then just watching those young pass rushers, can AJ Epenesa prove he deserves more snaps and kind of where he falls on that depth chart, that sort of thing. But it's nothing like key battles like I think you see from some other teams.
Elena, some reports out of camp, out of mini camp, and through the course of the offseason that Cam Lewis has kind of stood out a little bit. And again, no Trey White, so Cam Lewis is going to get some opportunities. But is he making the most of the opportunities to the point where you think he is on the final 53 when it's all said and done?
I don't have him quite there yet, but I think he's done well. I don't think you can earn this. Is I know this makes this not much less exciting. It's hard to earn a roster spot in this part of the season. I think so much of that comes down to training camp when they're really, like, getting into it and kind of you see some real football when there's, you know, it's a different kind of practice. But I think he looks good. He was playing well. I look forward to seeing what he does in camp. He's one of my guys that's, like, on the line that I could see getting it, but also, you know, they can only keep so many. So he's definitely one to watch.
Yeah, when I look at the offensive line, and again, still a lot to happen here, right, before the start of the season. But I noticed the Bills signed that veteran, Greg Van Roten. Does that put Cody Ford on notice here a little bit? I mean, Ford, is there another veteran on the team, maybe an A.J. Epenesa, players that really have to step forward to earn a job on this roster, Elena?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cody Ford right now has a spot on the roster, but they've been very open. He has to take a step in the right direction. He's had injuries. He's had other stuff. They need him to play better. It's as simple as that. Like, he's not one of the guys competing for one of those starting spots. I feel like that group's pretty locked in, but he needs to show that he can be a dependable backup and someone they can go to, because they've certainly needed backup offensive linemen in recent, you know, last year was a great example of that. So yeah, I don't know if his roster spot, you know, signing Greg Van Roten, I thought made a ton of sense. They needed better at offensive linemen, interior guy that can play multiple spots. I think it's definitely, you know, it's a reminder to Cody Ford. I think right now he still has a roster spot, but he's got to perform to a certain level.
Hey, Elena, can you explain to us what happened yesterday with Jake Kumerow? And we heard that he was released. The transaction wire showed it. The Bills end up re-signing him again late last night. So you lose him, but you don't lose him. Did they re-sign him at a lower rate than they did when they signed him to the one-year deal earlier this year in March? Is that what I'm here to understand? Like, I know that I think it's the top 51 player salaries apply to the salary cap. Was this a move to get Kumerow outside of that top 51 to kind of create some cap space?
Yeah, that's sort of my understanding of it. To be honest with you, it's still a little fuzzy there with, you know, the exact details and financial implications. But yeah, it's just kind of to clean some things up cap-wise. I wouldn't even, you know, it's not nothing to be concerned of or anything like that. But yeah, it's a procedural move. They, you know, from time to time, they'll do things like that.
Elena Getzenberg covers the Buffalo Bills for ESPN. We've talked about, like, fun things, looking forward to. Now here comes the heavy stuff, Elena. And here on our show, we've been trying to show respect to the Pegula family and their wishes in regards. But people, it's human nature. We want just good news on Kim, and we've yet to get any news like that. So I guess here's my question. What are your editors telling you when you have a story like this and we know something is wrong? What do we do in terms of discussing or trying to report on the situation involving Kim Pegula?
That's an interesting, yeah, thank you for asking. Yeah, this is a really tough situation, and I think anytime, you know, that you're reporting on someone's health, it's very different, you know, on a day-to-day basis where I'm reporting on what we've been talking about before, you know, how guys are playing on a football field. And, you know, when it comes to something like what the Pegula family is dealing with is obviously much more serious and something to be handled in a different way. And you want to be respectful, but you're also reporting on a public figure. So it's a hard combination. I think, you know, the stance here is if there's something to be reported that's firm and true, I think it's being reported. But I would say that if, you know, there's no guesswork, you know, you can't, you know, this is someone's health. This is, you know, a very, you know, it's the situation that it is. So there's only so much we can say because for a variety of reasons, but know that like when it's being reported on, people want to, it's something that you want to be accurate with and respectful because it's someone's health and it takes on another level.
So Elena, are you or any of your colleagues investigating? I mean, you know, I know you want to be respectful of their privacy. That's the thing that they've asked for. And you know, I don't know that you're interfering in their personal family business. If there's a way to find out what exactly is going on, is that something that you think some of your colleagues are into doing right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are still doing you still have to do your job. It's being reported on. And I think when there's information to be shared, it'll be shared. And I mean that from a reporting perspective too, when I think there's, you know, like I said before, you want to make sure it's accurate. You don't want to just put something out there and, you know, report something. You know, that's with any situation, though. You want to make sure what you're reporting is accurate. In this situation, I think that, you know, right now what's being reported is what can be reported. And that's not because people aren't doing their jobs. It's because that's kind of where things are at this moment. But people are definitely doing their jobs when it comes to this.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming from a place of malice or anything. Like, just give us some
for
good
sure.
news. Yeah. So you were out there. This was addressed kind of like as the press release, and we heard Sean McDermott, we heard Josh Allen, and really nobody, to my knowledge, went outside the lines there in discussing this, Elena. But what was the mood when the question came up there? What can you kind of describe this week here? You know, like the severity of the situation, at least from the tone of McDermott and Allen and others when they were asked about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they had all found out about it this week, like everyone else did. And then they were definitely, there's concern. Obviously, everyone wants, you know, her to be healthy and doing well. And I think there was definitely worry for her. You know, hearing, you know, Sean especially talked about how much the Pegulas have done for him, obviously making him a head coach and everything they've done for his family. So I think there's a lot of love there. Everything can be done, you know, for this team and in the community. And yeah, so I think their well wishes and all that sort of thing. Obviously, they stressed privacy and that's kind of where they were with it. But I think it kind of caught them by surprise, I would say, as well.
All right, Elena. So we're looking forward to the end of July. The Buffalo Bills coming to St. John Fisher College. This will be your first training camp. Covering the team, if I'm not mistaken, and if I'm also not mistaken, your first time in Rochester. So will you allow Gene and I to be your tour guides when you're when you're in Pittsburgh and you're looking for things to do and places to go to get you out of the dorms, to get you out of off campus and actually enjoying what our city has to offer?
Well, no, I'm kidding. I don't know. Yes, absolutely. It is my first training camp. It is my first time in Rochester. I would like all the recommendations, all the guidance on where to eat and be. So I am very excited. It's a long stretch for out there. It's a lot of practices. So I am very much so looking forward to it.
Well, Elena, you know Matt Perino, and he's a frequent guest on our show. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the garbage plate, but it's what we're kind of known for food-wise. Mm-hmm. And I'll be upfront. It's not exactly the most healthy meal. Perino's like, no, I couldn't do that. I couldn't put that in my body. Like, would you at least sample the plate while you're here in Rochester?
Oh, I'm planning to. Yes, absolutely. It was actually a topic brought up in the Bills media room on Wednesday was, what is this garbage plate? Because I have never even seen one. And the consensus was, that some beers needed to be consumed. That's correct. And then the plate could
that
be
is
had.
Correct. So, yes, Elena, so whoever said that is that. Absolutely right. I mean, look, you're a professional, you're a responsible adult. I wouldn't encourage you to go out and binge drink in order to enjoy a garbage plate. But let's be honest, you're going to have a couple of cocktails before you think that consuming a garbage plate is actually a good idea.
Well, I can do all of those things, and I will try it because I'll try anything once, and you know I'm here for unhealthy food, so Perino doesn't have to come. He can go do something else, and I will try the garbage plate.
Yeah, Perino's got to eat clean here. Like, dude, come on. Well, you're like,
I don't know about that. I got wings with Perino this week, so eating clean with quotes around it.
Yeah. Wow, so he's just giving us a line dance.
He still has that girlish figure. So yeah. I don't know. He might be eating clean, but he's doing something to offset the wings that he's having with Elena. Elena, it's great catching up with you. Enjoy your time here. I know that you and a lot of beat reporters are going to be taking a break here while the team kind of scatters and hopefully stays out of trouble. If you don't have to do much reporting, then things are probably going good during the downtime. And we'll catch up with you here at the end of next month when everybody convenes at St. John Fisher.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on. I'm sure they'll be keeping us busy, but yes, I'm looking forward to coming out there soon.
All right. Thanks, Elena. Really appreciate the time. Elena Getzenberg from ESPN. That's funny, Deidre, because you know how they write those stories. Like they do it like, all right, click on this, your team's biggest camp battle, and then click on the Buffalo button, and then Elena's like,
crickets.
Punter holding.
Yeah, biggest camp battle for the Buffalo Bills. Move on. Yeah, I mean, is that what it is? Is that legitimately the biggest thing that we're watching, whether or not Punt God can hold?
Look, if you're watching with your kids, right, the punters, that's the only group that actually goes over to Grounding Stadium. Don't you want to see the punt god in person? That's the one. I want to see the hang time.
I want to see footballs raining down from the heavens thanks to the punt god. Absolutely.
Yeah, we don't need Matt Hawk.
Yeah.
Come on, punt god, punt god.
He hates that too. He's going to hate us by the time training camp is over because he's going to hear nothing but punt god from fans. And, you can't help but hear it, even if it's being whispered. Oh, that's punt god. Punt god is on the field. He hates it. I say lean into it. Learn to love it. NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. Uh-oh. Some teams have been violating practice rules for the offseason programs. We'll tell you who the big violators are. And I don't know, Gino, the only thing I can think of with this Kumro story, and it's not a big deal, and Elena just said don't lose any sleep over it, but perhaps, they saw the 1 year, $1.18 million contract they gave him and said, hey, there's a way that we can lower that and not have it count towards the top 51 salaries on the cap. Maybe. Mm. Maybe. I don't know.
Nobody seems to know.
Nobody's really talking about it. And obviously, it's not a big deal. He remains on the team. It was a transaction that went down last night. But we'll give you a little bit of that as well with NFL appetizers. That's coming up next here in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan, Rochester.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.